It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance, and body slammed his way into immortality.
No police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
No police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free. I was born free.
All righty, welcome to Speak Out. It is Monday, March 2nd. 2026, March 2nd?
Yeah, we're flying through the
That's
year.
That's insane. I know. I had to make a new folder for new scripts today, and I went, wait, what? March already? So we're at the end of this month, we'll be through the first quarter.
Wow.
Right? Just saying, you're the business
fast.
Guy.
Yeah, important. Important to know that sort of stuff.
Exactly. And we have a full house today.
We do.
Speaking of Bob Saget, right? We have a full house. This morning, and so much so that we had to get another microphone.
Send out for a mic.
Yes, send out for a mic. That's a good way to put it, Jim. That's why you're not they don't know you as the best co-host in the business for nothing, right?
That's right.
Jeff Tuneman.
It took you a while to get out of that.
Yes, Jeff, I'm buffering today, and I don't know why. That's what we call it when you can't think. And on the fly. Anyway, Jeff Tuneman is here. I believe he's the Development Services Director.
That is correct.
Ha, I got it. You're going to have to get right up on that.
That is correct.
There you go. Perfect. And then we have Chris Gilbert. Chris, what is your title?
I'm the Planning Manager, Zoning Administrator for the City of Lake Havasu.
Perfect. We kind of threw the listeners a curveball this
yes.
morning. It's not your normal Jim Russell softball interview stuff, right?
Okay, this is going to be hardball?
A little bit. And then we have...
We're going to beat these people up?
No.
Okay.
Shelby Hennigan is here. I love that name, by the way. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, I heard an ad coming in for St. Patrick's Day. Shelby, what is your title?
I'm the Planning Coordinator, so I help support the staff and do all that stuff.
So they're all with the city.
Wow.
How about that?
And imagine that. This city needs planning. We just sort of thought it happens. You know?
We're going to be talking about the 45 mark. We're going to bring Pastor Darrell in from Calvary Baptist, and we're going to talk about the Crossroads car shows.
Oh, yes.
Something that's more in your wheelhouse.
Yes, indeed.
No pun intended. Good one, right? But today, right now, we're going to be talking about the general plan. And the general plan, you know, it was funny. I heard out in the green room, I call it where my office is in that whole waiting room area, they put, you know, the operations managers in the green room. Go figure, right? That's how different we are here. But the general plan, a lot of people go, well, I didn't know about that. I didn't know this was going to be on the ballot. Folks, we've been talking about the general plan on Speak Out for, what, 6 months now? When did all of this start? What is the general plan, the planning committee for that? How did people get involved? How did they get invited, so to speak, or did they just volunteer? How did all that work, Chris? Everybody's looking at you.
Well, the general plan process, the one we're using right now is a 2016 version, and Arizona state statutes, also known as state law, requires that cities update their general plan every 10 years. And we started the process in early 2025 with the retention of a consultant, as this is a very difficult process to do in-house. And the consultant team, we used Logan Simpson, worked with us and the city by helping us to prepare the document. But it wasn't just them. We also put together, with the city council's approval, a technical advisory committee and a steering committee that would guide the process. And that's been going for approximately coming up on a year and a half now. And we've gone through several stages, and there'll be more about this later in this interview. But we've gone through several stages, and we're now into the 60-day review period. I'll give more on that later as well. So that's kind of an overview. The general plan is required every 10 years, and we're nearing the end stages right now. And as you said earlier, in November, there will be a vote of the people required in the November election to adopt the plan.
How specific are these things in the plan? How can you be how can you plan for a city what's going to happen and what you want to do and so forth?
Yeah, that's a good question, especially a 10-year period. That's a long time. Like, who was talking about shoreline access 10 years ago when the nautical golf course might have still been open? Right.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, how do you account for that?
So, go into some detail on what a general plan is. Most people, when they think about what someone can do on their property, they think of a zoning ordinance, and that's dependent upon development criteria, on the zone they're in, and so on. The zoning ordinance is based upon the general plan, which underlies the zoning. In other words, the general plan kind of lays land use plan out for what the future development's going to look like. And the zoning has to conform to that. If the zoning does not conform, if somebody comes in and says, oh, you know, it's designed for low-density residential,
right,
but I want to put a commercial there, it does not match the general plan's land use map, and they would have to go through a change to the general plan. Now, again, the general plan's a guide. Zoning is hard and fast policy, which overlies the general plan. General plan's a guide, and as a guide, it is directing development as opposed to dictating the criteria of development.
Why does Lake Havasu City do this? I don't remember when I lived in, say, Bullhead City or Fort Mojave or even Las Vegas. I don't remember a city of that size having a general plan and the residents voting on it. Is this something that's specific to Lake Havasu City?
No, it's not. State statute requires a vote of the people, and it goes into very great detail on the size of the community, dictating the intensity of the plan that's required to be developed and what the approval criteria are. So with Havasu being about 60,000 people, we break all the thresholds to have to go through through all the criteria for the full plan, like bigger cities like Phoenix and Mesa would have to do.
I want to bring Jeff Tuneman into this as well. What were the major concerns from those? Are they stakeholders? What do we call those people that participated in the general plan process, the formation of the plan?
It's really just the entire community. We did set up a general plan steering committee, we called it, which was a makeup of citizens that had different backgrounds throughout the community. We had an application process. We then took that, narrowed it down to, I believe it was 15 or 11.
I think it was 11.
We narrowed it down to 11 individuals, and then we did take that to City Council, who then appointed them to this committee. So not only did we have this committee, but then we had, I'll turn it over to Shelby, and she'll tell you a little bit about what all our public outreach was. But it was really, this is the city's plan, right? So we want that input, and Shelby will touch on some of the numbers that we got feedback on and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think one of the neatest things about this plan now and compared to even just 10 years ago is our ability to have people participating virtually. It used to be you had to go to a meeting or you had to write letters or send emails, but we've been trying to make this very easy for people to participate. So we've had some in-person workshops, but we've also done that that virtually on the general plan website. And so the first component of how we kind of started this process was a community survey. And so we looked at 17 different elements, things like public safety, transportation, parks and open space, the types of housing people want to see. And we asked people, okay, here's our, it's 2026. In 10 years, a lot has changed. So what's the city doing good? Where do we need to improve? Have your goals or have the values within the community changed? And that's really kind of how we started this process with this input.
Those would be interesting comments to see, wouldn't they? So, okay, this all culminates with a vote of the people in November. Mm-hmm. Isn't it just a slam dunk, though? I mean, isn't
yeah, here it is.
Everything's over but the fighting, right? Over but the shouting. Do you ever get a, what happens if it's a no vote? What happens if there's more no's than yays?
So that can happen in cities or even counties. And at that point, we would have to get back through this process, find out what people didn't like, what were the concerns, and ultimately go through this again and try to get it right, essentially.
Wow.
So it has to be approved by the community.
Yep. Yeah. So there'll be some Planning and Zoning Commission meetings coming up for public hearing. They'll make a recommendation. The City Council will ultimately say, we like this plan and we're going to adopt it to put it on the ballot. But the final say is actually going to be with the voters in November, which is kind of fun because you don't always see that level of control, I think, in city government for people.
Very cool.
So right now we're in the 60-day draft review period, correct?
Correct.
What exactly does that mean, Chris? And what is in the draft review?
Okay, the 60-day draft review period is a statutory requirement whereby the draft plan, once it's brought together, reviewed by the TAC committee and the steering committee's had a look at it, and then the 60-day window's open for anyone in Arizona to make comment on it. That includes state agencies and other involved parties, not just the residents of Lake Havasu City. What the current draft plan contains, we have a simpler land use framework within it, an updated future land use map, which conforms with our current zoning. There was a lot of discrepancies that were fixed through it, and refreshed goals and objectives. A lot's changed in 10 years. Some of the goals and objectives were superfluous. I know that's a big word. I apologize.
They were like little decoration.
Well,
superfluous.
They turn out to not be either useful today, applicable today, or needed to be modified in some way, and some were kept straight up as they were written. But refreshed goals and objectives, the updated future land use map, which is a lot cleaner. We went from 15, 16 categories down to 7, so it would be a lot easier for the public to read and to interpret. And then the simpler land use framework part. The 2016 plan was very complex in how it was written. It was very, you could tell it was done by very educated individuals, written at a very high level. And it was difficult, even for professionals reading it, to fully comprehend without really parsing the sentences. And it's been made simpler to use with a much easier to review format with lots of graphs and charts that, like a picture's worth 1,000 words, that convey the same ideas through the use of these techniques. And I think it's a much better plan and design than the previous one. And so these are all areas where we're updating it. The 60-day period, we're receiving comments, and we'll have to respond to the comments that we receive in the 60-day period. And some of those comments will not apply, some will, others will be maybe applicable in other formats, but we'll have to look at all those and see where we can respond and where we can just say that's addressed in other manners.
When does that period end?
April 18th.
Okay.
So we had a kickoff open house last Wednesday just to kind of introduce it to people, answer questions. This is kind of an example of our general plan here, although I guess the people listening can't see this.
Can they see that online?
Yes, absolutely. So it's about 125 pages, but like Chris said, we've tried to do this in a way where anybody reading this, whether they're, you know, maybe a student at the high school and they want to learn more about local government, or a business owner, somebody who's in the community and wants to learn about the community, they can look at this and understand. So it's broken down into some sections. We have some aspirational statements and some goals that kind of bring all of these sections together.
Sure. Chris, do you remember the plan from 10 years ago and some of the highlights that you went, wait a minute, that's not really going to apply to today? Can you give us some examples? As what you called superfluous, right?
Well, that's just from goals and objectives. Okay. I don't remember specific examples, but there was hundreds of those. And some of them just didn't make sense in today's environment. And the steering committee was also involved in part of that. One of the things I can say is one of the biggest changes that happened to the plan is on the land use map. The charts and graphs that came in the 2016 version were so detailed, they almost acted like zoning requirements.
Whoa.
With density ranges that were really tight and narrow. And so that really hampered just simple property owners that wanted to do something in an area that had, like, mixed-use housing. They wanted, let's say, do a duplex, which they had around them. They had to do land use plan changes because they were so detailed that it didn't allow for that. So we've loosened that up a little bit to where there's it should not hamper just regular minor changes like that as much as it has in the past, because there was a major cost associated to the applicant in those as well. And so it'll be helpful to the general public to have an easier-to-use map, one that they can also read better. So that's one of the huge changes. And as far as the framework that we discussed already, just we took the goals, objectives, boiled them down to ones that really apply. We added a few new ones, but it's a real representative of where the community is today and where it wants to go in the next 10 years, because the plan is to look 20 years out, but we have to replace it in 10 years with an update or a new plan.
Yeah, this is more or less what we learned in leadership training anyway, where I went to leadership training, was a from to is what we called it, right? Kind of interesting, but when I was here in 2007, the big talk was about height requirements. Anything in that realm on this go around?
Well,
yeah, like a 15-foot height requirement, as I remember, right? So everybody could see the lake.
Yeah. Well, generally, height requirement is a zoning matter. It's a requirement in our zoning development code.
I got you.
It is not something that's generally an issue in the general plan, because that's like a 40,000 foot level overview of what we're planning for the future layout development.
Okay.
Things like setbacks, heights, that's all would be included under zoning.
So it sounds like land use is the key ingredient of this.
Yes.
Is that right?
The future land use map is the key document inside the general plan.
Okay. I feel bad for, you know, I live in a condo. Mm-hmm. I'm on the third floor. And, well, not on my side, but on the other side, you can definitely see the lake.
Uh-huh.
But those poor guys in the neighborhood behind me, at one time, they could see the lake too.
Yeah.
Not now. But anyway, we're talking general plan update. And you can follow along online more than likely. What's the address? Is that lhcaz.gov?
Yes, so you can get there from our city website. There's a link to the website. And right now, it's kind of a long one here. But the general plan itself, it's...
What's the first slash?
Here.
lhcaz.gov.
Yep.
Where would that be?
I think the most important thing, Paul, is that just go to lhcaz.gov, and there'll be a link there to the general plan.
Okay.
The draft general plan, and anyone can view it, comment on it.
Yes.
We really appreciate the feedback and look forward to hearing from everyone.
Every time you hit the table, we can hear that. Yeah, you're like our bass drum. It's okay, Jeff. Doing a great job. All right, and again, that's Jeff Tuneman. We also have Shelby Hennigan and Chris Gilbert, very knowledgeable in this whole process. Was he the facilitator, more or less?
Yeah, as our zoning administrator. And
perfect. All right, we're going to come back, talk a little bit more about the general plan and an overview of the past 11 months. We kind of went over that, but I want to know what's to come, you know? Is there anything that comes out of those comments that says, we got to strike that, no, we got to add this, without those those people involved that were on the steering committee, right? So, which included our own Mr. Greeley.
Yes.
He was there too. All right. And plus we have Jim Russell here,
yes, indeed,
as well. I'm Paul Lavoie. 928-854-5687 is the number. You might want to write that down for Common Ground tomorrow morning. I will be the host of Common Ground.
How did that honor befall you?
I think President Trump did it. So, yeah, it was with what happened over the weekend. We have to have
a presidential appointment.
We have to have a show. That's how it works. And then maybe a new host next week. Who knows? But I'm going to fill in for now, and that's tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Common Ground, 928-854-5687. That'll get you in here as well. Or you can text in your questions at 928-727-5566. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Should I stay or should I go? A little Patty Smythe, I think is how she said it. Am I right on that one? Do you know? Do you remember? You don't remember? Can you bring your mic up just a hair? Thank you. Yeah, I was telling Shelby here that I saw, I think it was Patty Smythe. I saw them with the Kinks. A general admission, too. So you could get as close to the stage as you wanted. Can you imagine, Jim? Everybody doing that at Rockabilly?
Uh-huh.
They pretty much did, right?
Yeah.
You guys had a phenomenal Elvis impersonator, by the way.
Great.
Wow.
Scott Bruce.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Sean is a huge fan, by the way.
Oh, more than.
I was so impressed with the way that stage looked. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, thank you.
By the time, man, I've never seen electronic backdrops like that, or even the wings you had. You know, the Anderson was lit up like that. It was very impressive.
Yeah, that was. Steve really took the ball with that.
Yeah, nicely done.
Did a nice job.
All right, broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. We are Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet. Salmon's AC by Blonzi Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, the home of Jim's favorite breakfast.
It's the best breakfast in town.
Which one do you get, by the way?
Oh, there's only one kind of breakfast, bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs!
Yeah,
I'm a bomelet guy, right?
Yeah.
The omelet with all of the chicken rare. An omelet with chicken fried steak. It's amazing. All right, also, A and B Propane. Go to abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget, we stream live in our show archives up on the website, kntrtalk.com, very shortly after the show. There's a card right there if you want to listen, Chris. You want to hear how good your pipes are on the air at right after the show. Be up at about 1:15-ish. So that's one of my favorite words.
Ish?
Ish. Yeah, ish, exactly. So let's go over what is to come then after this whole 60-day review period. What happens next?
So, when the 60-day period's done, we'll respond to all the comments received. And so far, we've had about 240 views as of the workshop last week, which is good for 1 week in. And it's probably going to be thousands of people looking at it, and hopefully hundreds of comments to respond to. And we'll respond to all those, and then we will schedule for Planning Commission and Council. There's two Planning Commission meetings. Two different locations. The first one's not 100% set yet, but the second one will be at the City Council meeting chambers, and of course City Council will review the plan. And then following that, they will, with that approval, they would bind it over for a vote of the people in November.
Okay.
And there has to be a 120-day waiting period between the council action and the election day.
So pencils down. Pencils down at that point.
I like it. I like it a lot.
However, we will continue to attend events and get the word out. We still have swag left. We still have goodies left to hand out and just to keep it fresh in people's minds.
Wait, general plan swag? And I'm not privy to this?
Yeah.
How did that happen? You guys could have been my new best friend today.
going to have to bring some by. I dropped the ball on this one.
That's okay. It's okay.
There's a reason to have them back.
So what? Exactly.
See you next month.
What happens when you get a suggestion in the comment period and you say, wow, that was never really gone over. We didn't think of that. Do you go back through the process again with the steering committee? What happens?
No, these comments are going to be mostly because the format and structure is already developed in the draft plan. These comments, if they're significant, we'll flesh them out a little bit, do responses, and we'll notify the Planning Commission when it gets to the Planning Commission that this is slightly different from the draft version that was presented because of public comment, for example. But from what we've seen so far, we don't have anything that's that earth-shattering. The comments are all fairly minor. Some of them don't even apply, really.
Okay.
And that's only one week. We still have about 7 weeks to go.
Sure. Jeff, I want to bring you in again. How does this affect your department over, say, the next 10 years?
Yeah, this is our guide. Like Chris said, this is our 40,000-foot elevation of what we use every day at our job. When we have people and developers come in and say, we want to do these things, the general plan is what we pull out first and say, okay, does this match what the community envisioned in this area? And if it doesn't, then they have a process, and we have to allow a process through state statutes that they can come in and do an amendment to the plan. And there's two different types of amendment, a minor and a major, depending on acreage. But, so it can be amended, and we expect it to be amended from time to time. Right now, we're doing a lot of amendments with this current plan because our land use categories don't really match our zoning designation.
How so?
So, we have a residentially zoned R1 lot zoning. That's just your standard. That's most of your residential area.
It's a stick-built home on a lot.
Stick home in a lot.
Okay.
Well, our general plan might say that multifamily is supposed to be in that area. Well, that's a conflict. So we went through, that was one of our big exercises. We went through like a crosswalk exercise and a comparison to what's our zoning, what's our general plan land use category, and when they conflicted, we said, well, we need to change that to match our zoning. So we went through and cleaned that up, and it gives us more stable land use throughout the community. So we expect to not see as many general plan amendments moving forward.
You know, I just realized when we were talking off the air that this isn't sort of an abstract guide. These are rules that the city will follow, and if you want to do something that isn't covered and approved in the general plan, then you can't, or you have to proceed to amend that.
That's a great point, and I want all three of you to comment on this next question. Robert P. McCulloch and some of the other founders, you know, C.B. Wood, and those people that were here back way before us, what would they think of today's general plan? What do you think, Jeff?
I'll let Chris go with that.
Okay.
Well, I think first we need to look at what Mr. McCulloch intended. He was not a city when he started Lake Havasu in the 1960s, so it was done as a private plan development, and it was enforced through HOAs and architectural committees, all that. So those traditions continued when it became a city, and that's what we're continuing today with this general plan, is to try to continue a lot of the ideas and concepts that he had from the original layout from the 1960s for the community as it grows. And a lot of the same, like the height restrictions, the views of the lake as much as we can, even though there's no guarantee on that.
Were those in the original general plan?
Well, the general plan would not have been required as a private development.
Oh, okay.
He would have had
framework?
A framework mm-hmm. as a private developer, because he would have had to have governed that through private deed restrictions. But a lot of that's been maintained over the years, and our general plan tries to support that, tries to preserve the culture that he built here with the lake views and so on. And that's a big part of what is so appealing to the community, is houses stepping down, many having lake views that are unobstructed. But at the same time, he founded the community for commercial purposes for his own industry that
sure.
he ran, and you need employees, places to live, multifamily, and commercial to service everybody that lives here. And so when the general plan's trying to make all these things fit together in a mix of uses on a map that makes sense. And ultimately, I think that based on the 60,000 population, I think he'd be happy with it.
Makes you wonder, though, what would Robert P. McCulloch think of short-term rentals impacting that community, and those workers?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Jim, did you have anything else?
No.
Jeff, did you want to comment?
No, I think Chris did a great job with that. I think reading the old CC&Rs, because this was one big subdivision prior to the incorporation, you read those 1968, 1964, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. Versus where we're at today. We've come a long ways, but you do see some tendencies of what was required in there and then what we're requiring today. So mm-hmm. It is kind of neat to see some of that history, and I think we can be proud of where we're at today and where we're headed in the future, for sure.
68 and 64, big difference, by the way. I was 4 years old in 68, so out of diapers by then, right?
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Does anybody else have anything else before we turn it over to our next guest?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to be here and promote the 60-day review. Like, we really want to get that word out there and get our citizens involved. Mm-hmm. Please remember to go to our website, lacaz.gov, and look for that general plan draft and give us all your feedback. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate it. And look forward to hopefully voting yes on this in November 2026.
Who votes no? I mean, what is that? Somebody? Do we have to give them onions after that? Or?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying.
No, I mean, that's
this town's all about orchids and Karens, right?
Right. I mean, we're doing all this reach out.
That's what I call them. Chris hasn't heard that yet.
And I think one thing is just letting people know that it's going to be on the ballot, because sometimes people see something on the ballot and they feel like maybe they don't want to vote on it because they're not sure what it is. So that's really what we're trying to do, is just really get people involved and make sure they understand and have an opportunity to ask questions.
So the general question for the general plan will be for ratification of, as the words that will be used.
Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy. Yeah. And then we'll have arguments for and arguments against. I'm like, I can't imagine arguments against after all of this process. It's like, what, a 2-year process?
Yeah, we'll be about a year and a half in. Yeah, 2 years
September 2024 is when we started the RFP process.
Mm-hmm. And, to bid.
Then you get to look forward to it in, what, 2034?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. We're going to bring in our next guest, Pastor Daryl, and he's from Calvary Baptist Church. They got a car show coming up. And, guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
It's Shelby Hennigan, Chris Gilbert, and Jeff Tuneman. And, Speak Out will continue in a moment. I thought this was kind of an appropriate song with all the events that they go through on We Didn't Start the Fire, Billy Joel, right? Kind of like the general plan. Got all this stuff going on.
Yes.
Hard to believe, though, when you listen to this song, it was in the mid-80s. There's still way more that happens after that, right? All right. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Welcome back to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell.
Yes, indeed.
Right? And Pastor Daryl. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you guys today?
I'm a little annoyed, actually.
Oh, I bet you are.
Why would that be, Daryl?
Well, I don't know. I came in here, you guys, with a Dodger shirt on.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
At least it doesn't say world champions.
Oh, that's the hat. It's in the car.
Oh, good. You're lucky you left the hat in the car, man.
Yes.
No, congratulations to the best team money can buy. did a great job last year. You know, you lost a couple of playoff games, but, you know, they should have had a straight sweep for what they were paying Shohei Ohtani. And the who is the most valuable player? The pitcher, right? Yamamoto?
Yep.
Oh, man, that guy's a beast. Straight up beast. To pitch as much as he did and give up, what, one hit maybe?
Right.
Not. I don't even think he gave up a run.
Yeah, one of the games.
That was incredible.
And then we had that one game where we did it go 18 innings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, and then you got Ohtani. We're talking about two Japanese players who combined. That's why I say the best team money can buy for $1.2 billion on their contracts.
How is that possible?
They combined for that. I think Ohtani got $800 million of that.
Oh. Yeah, I think Ohtani deferred a lot of his payments so that they could fit within the parameters.
To his interpreter.
Right.
So he could bet for him.
Right?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That was a whole other scam.
Man, let's talk baseball, baby. Speak Out brought to you by,
I love it.
By Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. Also, Springburg Wealth Management. By the Chair, Laughlin Ranch. By Mojave College, samsguns.com, Solar Power by S-Man Electric, Doritos Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. And, no, the Diamondbacks, man, we got Nolan Arenado. I'm actually pretty impressed at him this spring. He's got a home run, a lot of situational hits, and Nolan Arenado's looking pretty. He might have a rebirth this year in Arizona. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about. Third baseman for the Rockies and then the Cardinals, and he's got five gold gloves. They're going to be, you know, the infield for the Diamondbacks this year is solid if they can stay healthy.
So long as we just keep hitting home runs, we're good then.
So long as you don't get that pitcher out of Detroit that actually lives in Phoenix that we want. So there you go.
Let's talk cars, money talks and what walks?
Yeah, I know. And let's talk cars, man, because Jim loves that topic.
That's right.
Right?
You bet.
The classic car and bike show. From it's called Crossroads. It's the 18th annual.
Yes. 18th
have you been on all 18 of those? Or
no,
what?
I have not. I've been on the last four.
That would make you about what 20 when you started.
That could work, you know.
I know it. Tell us about your event, and it's on March 14th.
Yes, March 14th, which is a Saturday. It's our 18th annual Crossroads Car Show, put on by Calvary. It's an awesome place to be because why? Everything is free. Everything from entry to registration of your classic car, $19.99 and less. So don't bring us something 2000 and above, okay? We want classic cars. We're trying to stick to that. We have free chili dogs available.
I heard that.
Yeah. Chips and water. So it's just a great event for someone to go out to. And, you know, there's a lot of unchurched people here in Havasu. And what a great way to allow them to come to a quote-unquote church event, but not church event, you know, not in an actual sanctuary, but go and hang out and see that we as believers like to have fun and enjoy life too. You know, we're not just stick in the mud and, you know, show up in church and check the box. That's not who we are.
And it's a quality show too. That's, you know, an excellent show with great diversity of cars.
Yes.
Coming from
street
Jim.
Street rods and all.
That's
day.
Good.
Are you kidding me?
Are you really?
If there's another event in town, he goes, it's a piece of crap. You know? No, it's fantastic, Jim.
Oh, wow. Dick Stiller does a magnificent
job. Yes, he does. Nice. You know Dick.
Know him well. Know him well.
Great guy.
Yeah, great guy.
He and his wife, they kind of lead and cheer this up, as a matter of fact. I'm sorry.
Well, you had me at the chili and chili dogs.
Okay.
I think I told you the story about when I was a kid, I couldn't eat hot dogs. So we couldn't go to Dodger Stadium because they didn't have hamburgers like Jack Murphy did, right?
Right.
but you had the Dodger dog.
That's right.
Last year it was free hot dogs. This year it's free chili dogs.
Yes.
That's quite the upgrade.
Wow.
Yes.
How did Pastor Chad come to that? That's pretty. That's excellent.
Some things we don't run by Pastor Chad.
Oh, that's funny.
Some things we just do.
Right.
He trusts us.
So tell me about the entry process. How does one get their car into the Crossroads Car Show?
Well, if you don't already have a registration form, you can call our main office down to our McCulloch campus, and they can help you out by giving you the registration form. Even if you wanted to, as a business, okay, give like a donation towards, because what we're doing is we're supporting Faith and Grace.
Oh, okay.
Which is our women's battered home, you know.
Sure.
Here in Lake Havasu. So we really like to support that organization because that's the only one here. Not that we shouldn't need one, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
But it's sad that we do.
Well, that's absolutely right.
Yes, but it's sad that we do. So since we do, we want to support that. And they always come alongside of us with this great car show. And we have over 350 cars usually that enter.
You also have 16 classifications.
Yes.
That's, I don't know if I should go through all these if I even have time.
No, you probably don't. Yeah, but it's okay.
Class 1 is 1931 and older.
Yes.
You actually get older than that?
Yes.
Wow.
We do.
And then 32 to 35 is class 2.
Mm-hmm.
Class 3, 36 to 48. That was my dad's graduating year. It was 1948.
Was it?
Easy to remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't, man. Come on. 1949 to 1954 is class 4. And then you've got all the way up to Rat Rod, which is 15 Corvettes. You have Corvettes, T-Birds, Mustangs, and muscle cars, and trucks all have their own classifications.
Yes.
That's just crazy.
It is. And like I say, because it's a free show, the turnout from our community is unbelievable.
How big is the motorcycle class?
You know, it's not as large as I would like to see it.
It's not as large as I would think.
Yeah, the motorcycle class, maybe we have 5 to 10 bikes out there, but I would love to see that portion of it grow.
Okay.
I really would. Yeah.
So what do people that enter, what do they get for their entry?
Nothing. they get a free hot chili dog.
Yeah, what more could you want?
They get what I
chili
need.
Dog.
They get what I need, which is church it up, right?
No. You know, we do have plaques that we give away for the entries of each and every class. So, you know, and most guys or ladies that have a classic car just want to show it off.
Yeah.
They just want people to look at it.
Yeah, just want to kick the tires.
Yeah, exactly.
And talk to other people with the similar interests. And
that's right.
Man, you learn a lot.
I had a, you know, you're going to laugh when I tell you what my first car was, but I wish I still had it. It was in very, very good shape. It was a 75 Vega hatchback.
Oh, wow. I remember
The Bicentennial Edition.
Okay.
Blue, beautiful, like a metallic blue. And, yeah, I wish I still had that car.
Huh.
It was. It would make a nice entry in this.
Vega.
Because my current car is 2026.
It was not going to work. Not going to make it, right?
No, not going to work at all. Yeah, the Vega with the steel sleeved engine. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Good little car.
Okay. My first car was a Volkswagen.
A Bug? What year?
Bug. Yeah. A 1969 Bug.
Wow. My brother's was a 68.
Yeah.
So you had the oval back window.
Yep, exactly.
Nice. Very nice.
My brother had one that had
I know my Bugs, man.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, Bugs are cool.
Did you have moon discs?
Yeah.
On the wheels?
Yes.
Really?
Come on.
Nice.
You know, and my brother had one.
Those are sharp wheels.
Uh-huh.
Very, very rough when you have to change a tire, though.
Yes.
Because you got to take off a lot of points on there to get those moon discs off, right?
That's right.
All right.
Very true.
So tell people how they get an application for this, how they can enter their vehicle, besides knowing Dick Stiller.
Yeah. If you don't know, you know, you can call this number, which is 928-680-5057. I'll repeat that. 928-6057. Oh, let me put my glasses on. That might hurt, huh?
Yeah.
It might help a little bit.
Yeah, you're going to get everybody calling the wrong number.
I know, right? My bad. Dick Stiller, 928-680-6057. Once again, 928-680-6057. You can call him and make sure that you get a registration class card, or you can just show up. Show up.
I was laughing because you said my bad. It's going to be me at the pearly gates, right?
Is it? My bad.
It's supposed
No.
It's supposed to be your get-out-of-jail-free card. Dad, I wrecked the car. My bad.
I know.
Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, Dick Stiller, again, it's Dick F. Stiller. I don't know what that means. @yahoo.com.
Yes.
Is his email. So, and then we have some, I think we have one or two here at the station, if you're interested in picking up a registration form. So.
Yeah, and if you want to drop by our McCulloch campus, you can pick some up there. That's 1605 McCulloch Boulevard South. Monday through Thursday from 8 o'clock until, say, 3:34.
Nice.
You can go into the front office there and just ask the beautiful lady there, and she will be glad to give you a registration classification, and you can sign up there. And like I say, and if you're a business and you want to donate, like, a gift card or things for our gift baskets, we also carry a 501(c) that you can have a write-off on that, and we would love for you to donate gift cards, like from the restaurants we have out here, the Chagrus, and everybody else that we support all year long.
So registration, 7 a.m., March 14th. It's at Sarah Park, Highway 95, the Speedway, of course.
Yes.
And then the Show and Shine is from 9 until 1, awards at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
There you go. Public's invited.
Public's invited.
You don't even have to be a member of
Calgary. And how much is it going to cost you?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Free.
Oh, it's all free. That's right. Everything's free.
Does the public get a free chili dog, too?
Yes. It's all for the public. You know. Oh, yes.
Everything's
absolutely.
Free. That's yeah.
Everything's free. That's the greatest thing about this,
yeah,
you know?
I thought you only got the chili dog for showing your car.
No, no.
Just for showing up, you
just
got
just for walking in and nice. Gawking and looking at the cars, you very get to good. Have a free chili dog.
Nice.
Or perfect. Two or three.
Hey, speaking of the Dodgers.
Yes. So, oh, boy. We're back on that, huh?
No, this okay. A good thing. There's a game if you want to help support Havasu Silent Witness, right? And go to a ball game with the Dodgers and the D-backs. It's off in August. We're still taking donations for that ticket prize. It's four tickets to that game, field level. They are the seats for the radio station. We donated
oh, wow.
to Havasu Silent Witness. And, yeah, if your name gets chosen, you go.
I like it.
Pretty cool, right?
Watch those Dodgers beat up on those Cardinals.
No. Diamondbacks.
Whatever.
Oh, wow. Hey, are you from L.A.?
I am. Can you tell?
Yes. Actually, I can.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I can tell. All right. Okay. So, which uniform's the best one? The grays, the road grays, or the white one?
I like the road gray. The white one, I dislike it all. It looks like a laundry bag or something like that. I don't know. When the first time I saw that, I go, did they forget to wash their uniforms?
Did they have a city uniform by chance? Like ours is the Serpientes, you know,
I'm not aware of that.
The Spanish one?
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. All right. Well, good luck to the Dodgers.
Thank you. Nah. Good luck to the Cardinals.
Oh, man. That would be St. Louis.
I know.
All right.
How about the D-backs?
That's the Diamondbacks.
I know.
He actually said D-backs.
Said D-backs.
All right. We're going to take this one right up to the top of the hour. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure as always.
Hannity's up next. And, of course, Pastor Darrell, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All
once
right.
again.
We're going to take this right up to the top of the hour. See you tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.